The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. Good morning again, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor to the right and to the left. And while you're greeting them, say to them, it's a new day. It's a new day. And today we are in the second part of our teaching on it's a new day. We take a text from Matthew 14 from verse 22 to 29. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 29. Ancient words, long preserved for our walk in this world, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." They cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. The Lord bless the hearing and the reading of his word today in the mighty name of Jesus. So we see that Jesus sent his disciples to the other side, and there was a storm. While there was a storm, the storm was still raging. The disciples were already in trouble. They were just in turmoil, if you will. And Jesus came walking on water. Now, this is so important because the storm was still on. The storm was still raging. So Jesus didn't only walk on the sea, Jesus walked on the stormy sea. Now I'm thinking to myself, reading this scripture, I'm thinking to myself, because this is a scripture that typifies a new day, really, technically. There was a storm. Jesus, before getting on the sea, I mean, if I think about it, if I had the power to command the storms to stop, to walk on the water, on the sea, and I'm about to get on the sea, and there's a storm, I should tell the storm to stop first. Typically, we will do that. But Jesus just walked straight into the storm. Amazing. 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 Why didn't he tell the storm to stop? So I was thinking to myself, why didn't he tell the storm to stop? Why? And you know why? The reason is this. With Jesus, it doesn't matter if there's a storm or not. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if there's a storm or not. With Jesus, it doesn't matter whether there's a storm or there isn't a storm. We worry about storms. You see a storm brewing in your life, you are concerned. Jesus doesn't seem to be bothered about storms. Remember, he was sleeping in the boat when there was a storm. He wouldn't even bother. He was sleeping. Jesus was sleeping. In this case, he just walked into the storm. He just ignored the storm. He ignored the storm. I mean, question is, could it be that we pay too much attention to the storms in our lives? Could it be that we should just ignore some storms? Could it be learning from Jesus? Jesus is the, you know, when you say arugumasa, arugumatidi, the one that sees the war, that sees war and doesn't buckle, doesn't run, that sees war and doesn't step back, is the real original Jagun Jagun. Jesus is the real warrior. He just walked into the storm. And that caught me, and I was just thinking about it, and wrestling with it. I mean, he just walked into the storm. Storm or no storm, Jesus remains king. Hallelujah. Jesus is king, regardless of the storm. I mean, David puts it this way. He says, where can I go from your presence? And in Psalm 139, verse 12, he says, indeed, even if I say to the darkness to cover me, he says, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. He says, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. As far as God is concerned, whether it is dark, whether it is bright, it doesn't affect his vision. It doesn't affect his maneuvering. He is God all by himself. Whether there is a storm or whether the sea is calm, he is God. He just walked on the water into the storm. Hallelujah. That's huge. That's huge. As a child of God, don't fret about storms. We're told that eagles fly straight into the storms. Straight into the storm. That is what differentiates eagles from ordinary birds. And by the time Jesus came to them, in verse 28, it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come on water. Pause for a breath. Peter said to Jesus, if it is you, Lord, command me to come. He didn't just say, tell me. He says, command me to walk on water. You see, the truth is that Jesus must have been commanding Peter on little things. Peter, get that back. Peter, keep quiet. Peter, say sorry. Peter, go there. Peter, and you know, before it got to the storm, to the big things, many times we want God to command us on the big things, but we ignore God on the little things. Peter at this point could say to Jesus, command me to come. If you command me the same way you commanded me to get water and I got water for you, Jesus, the same way I will step on the water. Hallelujah. So he said, verse 29, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. Now, a lot is happening here. I mean, this passage is so loaded. I pray that God's word will come alive to you in the name of Jesus. And I ask myself, is it only Peter that was in the boat? Why didn't Thaddeus, Bartholomew, John, Matthew, that wrote the account, why didn't they also say, Lord, me too. Lord, let me too come. Lord, me too. It will have been fun. You see, but the problem was that even though they all saw Jesus, because they all said, oh, this is a ghost, right? And Jesus says, it's not me. It's not a ghost. It's me, right? Why didn't the others ask Jesus? The others felt more impressed by the storm than they were of Jesus. In other words, the others felt that the storm was bigger to them than Jesus was to them. So they could only see the storm, if you will. And if you remember, when Jesus and Peter, after walking on water, when he started seeing the storm, what happened? He began to sink. Peter began to sink. So, Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is this, that if all you can see is the storm, my brother, just stay in the boat. Just stay in the boat. If all you can see is the storm, they just stay in the boat. There are challenges in economies today. If all you can see is the trouble, just stay in the boat. If you can see Jesus, if you can see what God is doing, even at this time in the dark hours of the earth, if you can see it, then you should say to him, command me to come and step on the water. Hallelujah. These times are made for men and for women that can see Jesus. That Jesus is bigger than the storm to them. These times are made for people that feel that Jesus is king, even king over the storms. These times are made for people that will step out of the boat because Jesus says, come. So, if all you can see is the storm, please stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. So, we see when Jesus said, it is I. Then he said to Peter, come. So, that means that Jesus is not only able to calm our fears, is also able to make us walk on the storms. Hallelujah. Woo! So the fears that come because of the storm, because of all the insecurity that comes with it, Jesus is not only able to calm the storm, he's able to make us walk on the storm. He's able to put the storms underneath your feet. Now, the implication of this is this, that he is able to make us like himself. That's what it means. He's able to make us do the things that he can do. Job 9:8 says to us that he alone spreads out the heavens. He alone marches on the waves of the sea. It is only Jesus, only God that can march on the waves of the sea. And he says to Peter, come and be like me. It's an invitation to be like me. So God is saying to you, if you can see Jesus even at this time, you can walk on water. And the implication is that Jesus wants you to be like him. He wants you to do the things that he did. He wants you to step up and do the miraculous. He wants you to operate in the supernatural. He wants you to be like him. So it's a new day. Tell your neighbor it's a new day. We are getting there. We're going somewhere. In verse 22, the word of God says that immediately Jesus made, another translation says, he compelled his disciples. So he constrained them. In other words, he chased them practically to get on the boat and go to before him to the other side immediately. Why the urgency? Why to go to the other side? So they were in the northeast side of Galilee, of the Sea of Galilee. The other side was southwest of the Sea of Galilee. So they were coming like this, like coming from Borno to Lagos, if you will, in that direction. And they had to cross the Sea of Galilee. Immediately, because evening had come. That was practically the last boat. And of course, the disciples were going to wait for Jesus. You know, you don't leave your guy to be packing the chairs and But Jesus said to them, you go, don't miss the boat. I can find my way. You go with the boat. I can find my way. Hallelujah. You go with the boat. It's a big leadership lesson. Jesus told his disciples to go so they don't miss the boat and get stranded. So that he can send the people away, shake their hands, send them to their homes, clean up after the whole crew. At least 20,000 people were fed that day. If there were 5,000 men, do the math. Jesus told his disciples to go so that he can clean up after them. It's a big leadership lesson. That's number one. Number two, Jesus was not limited to earthly resources. Even though the boat, there was no boats, even though the boat had closed, Jesus was not stranded. Even though the boats have closed, you will not be stranded in the name of Jesus. Even though the means of transportation is no longer available, you will not be stranded in the name of Jesus. So we see Jesus here saying, guys, go. Go to the other side. And in verse 26, while they were going, there was a storm. While they were still worried about the storm, Jesus had finished with all he was doing. And he decided to take a stroll on the water. Think about it. What if they had all stayed behind? And Jesus, I said, look, guys, the boat transportation is closed now. There's a lot of storm in the Sea of Galilee. I am just taking a walk. I'm going to walk across. Maybe only Peter will follow him. The others will be stranded because they will be like, ah, Jesus, Papa, we will wait for the next available boat in the morning or something. Jesus, allow them to go on. While they were in the storm, he walked on the storm. And by the time we get to verse 26, it says that, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out of fear. Now, grown men crying. Grown men. Have you seen grown men crying before? They were crying out of fear. They talk about being caught up between, you know, the devil and the deep blue sea. The storm was raging. Even the ones that could swim could not attempt it. Because you jump into the storm, you are gone. The boat could capsize. They were struggling to keep the boat afloat. Then comes a ghost, quote unquote. Where do you run to? And many people are in a place where it appears that everywhere they turn, there's trouble. And you're like, where do I run to? God has brought you here this morning. And he's saying to you, it is me. Don't be afraid. One of the options is actually God that has come to you. Step back and take a look again. It looks like a ghost, but it is not. It is Jesus that has come to you. Hallelujah. It is not a ghost. It is Jesus. So God always, always make a way of escape. Always. You can look around you and say, oh wow, I'm surrounded. Oh wow, there's no way out. God has sent me to you. Calm down. Look again. It is Jesus, the way maker, is making a way for you. The way is opened in the name of Jesus, and you will see it. Now, we are getting to the deeper bit of this teaching. Verse 25. It says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Now. You remember they said it was just evening when he sent them off and they were going and he sent off the crowd. But by this time, it was the fourth watch of the night. Now, remember last week, we did say that and the evening and the morning was the first day. And the evening and the morning was the second day. How the day is calibrated for the Jew is the evening and the morning. For us, Western mindset is the morning and the evening, then the day is over, day one. But it is the other way around, the evening and the morning. So the Hebrew day is from sunset to sunset. So the day actually begins for the Jew at sunset in the evening. At about 6 p.m. or whenever the sun set. Now, when it was sunset, Jesus sent them on their way. Now, It was the fourth watch. Now, a graphic is going to come up to really break this down for us. So we see that the first watch, the beginning of the day, is sunset to 9 p.m. You could say 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., depending on when the sun sets. The second watch is 9 p.m. to midnight. The third watch was midnight to 3 a.m. The fourth watch was 3 a.m. to sunrise, or plus or minus 6 a.m. So he set them on their way at sunset, let's say 6 p.m. And by the fourth watch, they were still in the storm. That is 9 to 12 hours of battle. 9 to 12 hours of not knowing whether they will survive. 9 to 12 hours. I mean, it's unbelievable. The distance is not supposed to take, just take a few hours. 1 or 2 hours. 9 to 12 hours they were in the storm. And of course, first hour, third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour, also on the screen. So that is the day, that's the Jewish day, traditionally. Even when the Romans came here, there was a recalibration and all that stuff. But traditionally, this is it. So they were in the storm. Now, let's look at it another way. And that is, if the day, if you, and I said this to myself, and you may want to try it, and see how productive you will become. Start your day 6 p.m. So start Monday, tomorrow Monday, 6 p.m. on Sunday. 6 p.m. on Sunday. And see how productive you will become. So you need an evening strategy, if you will. You need a night strategy. Your evening strategy cannot be to sleep alone. That cannot be your only evening strategy. Once it's evening, I want to sleep. No, no. You need a concrete evening strategy. And I'm going to share from this passage of scripture the evening strategy. Jesus obviously had an evening strategy. You need an evening strategy so that by the fourth watch, you will be walking on water. Hallelujah. You need an evening strategy so that by the fourth watch, by the time the day breaks, half of the day is gone already. Practically, you will be walking on the storms. You will be walking on water. The storms will be under your feet. The storms of life will be under your feet. The fourth watch, everybody say the fourth watch. The fourth watch is so important. It's the breaking of the day. It is the time where it is the toughest part of the day, if you will. It's the time where the sweetest part of the sleep. it's the time of intense spiritual activity. The fourth watch. It was the fourth watch that Jesus walked on water. The fourth watch. It was the fourth watch that Jacob prevailed with God. In the name of Jesus, you will prevail with God. It was in the fourth watch that Jacob prevailed with God. Genesis 32, 24, from 24. It says, this left Jacob alone in the camp, and a man came, wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. That's until the dawn began to break, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., fourth watch. Then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is about to break. The dawn must not catch me here. Where we come from, we need to return to base. Hallelujah. The dawn must not catch me here, But Jacob said, you are going nowhere. I will not let you go unless you bless me. And the man quickly blessed him. Take. You know, of course, you know that was the Lord. And he went. It was the fourth watch that Jesus walked on water. It was the fourth watch that Jacob prevailed with God. Guess what? It was the fourth watch that Moses led the Israelites across the Red Sea. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because you will have an evening strategy, you will walk on water, the storms will be under your feet, you will prevail with God, and you will cross over your Red Seas in the mighty name of Jesus. We see that in Exodus 14 from 24. It says, now it came to pass that in the morning watch, the watch that breaks the day, the watch that leads to mourning, that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptian through the pillar of fire and cloud, and it troubled the army of the Egyptians. God will trouble the armies of every Egyptian of your life in the name of Jesus. And it took off their chariot wheels. So they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let's flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against us. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your enemies will proclaim that let us run from you because the Lord is fighting for you in the name of Jesus. So the fourth word, so powerful. So powerful. It's a new day. Hallelujah. For you to maximize your new day, you must start at the first watch. So that by the time you get to the fourth watch, you are walking on water. The storms are beneath your feet. You have prevailed with God. You've crossed every Egyptian plot and every Red Sea of your life. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, and I know that there's, folks talk a lot about commanding the day, and all that stuff. And Job 38:12 is what is being used. That's not really what Job 38:12 is saying. I don't know, that may be a spoiler for some people, but the word of God is the word of God. You know, it says, have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, and that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and shake the wicked out of it? Now, so people have misinterpreted that to mean you have to wake up in the morning before the day, command your day so that it will take its place and shake the wicked out of it for you. What about the days you forget? What about the days you slept off? So who commanded that day? Who commanded it? Because the day broke. That's not what God is saying here. To understand what God is saying here, back up to verse 1. Job had been asking questions and God has been silent. So finally God decided to answer him. Job 38 from verse 1. Now, this is God asking Job. He says, then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. When God answers you from a whirlwind, that's the teaching for another day. Focus. And said, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must give me an answer. So God was asking Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Is God saying, Job, you're going to lay the foundations of the earth? No. He's asking, were you there? Just like you're asking your son, when I met your mother, when I married her, were you there? You know, those kind of questions. You know, verse 4, he says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, since you know so much. Verse 5, Who determined the dimensions? Who stretched out the survey line? The survey line. Who drew it? The architectural plan. Where is it? Show me. What supports the foundations? The earth is just rotating. What supports the foundation? Who laid this cornerstone? As this morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it bursts from its womb? And as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness, for I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. So God was asking Job, do you know these things? You are questioning my wisdom. What do you know? What do you know? Verse 11. For I said, this far and no further will you come. Talking about the seas. Here your proud waves must stop. No wonder Jesus could just walk upon the waves like that. Walk upon the storms. Then, by the time he gets to verse 12, he says, have you ever commanded the morning to appear? Have you ever? And caused the dawn to rise from the east? Have you made daylight spread to the ends of the earth? That was the question. God was challenging Job's ignorance. It is not an assignment for us to command the morning. I'm sorry, I didn't write the Bible. But that's what it says. So the best you can do if you insist on doing it is to say, I align with God that commands the day. So and so and so. That's fine. You know, that's fine. So you need an evening strategy so that by the fourth watch, you'll be walking on water. The storms will be under your feet. You have prevailed with God. Walked out of Egypt. Prevailed over every form of Red Sea situation in your life. You need an evening strategy on what we've called the pre-dawn strategy. Pre-dawn strategy. You need a pre-dawn strategy. Are you ready? All from Jesus. Pre-dawn strategy. And pre-dawn just means before dawn. And so the strategy is three-pronged. So P-R-E, pre-dawn. So P stands for something. R stands for something. E stands for something. Let's go. P is plan. You need to plan. So if your day starts at 6 p.m., for instance, you need to plan the next day before you go to sleep. You need to plan. And that involves and entails even clearing all that had happened in the current day or in the day that just passed. Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and crossed over to the other side of the lake. So, the first thing is, send your call to the other side. To plan your day, to plan in the pre-dawn strategy, send your call to the other side. Genesis 32 from verse 22 says, during the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servant wives, and his 11 sons, and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he went back. You see that? Jacob prevailed in the fourth watch. He had to send his call across. The second thing, God will give you understanding in Jesus' name. The second thing is send the people, the multitudes, send them away. Send them home. Clear your plates from yesterday. Clear up your physical plates. Clear up your mental plate. Let your mind be clear. Then you envision the next day. You envision the next day. Jesus did all this. You envision the next day. So when your day starts at 6 p.m., you plan. You plan. Clear out. Send your crew over. Get the multitude home. Envision. Envision the day. Plan the day. Write down your goals for the day. Envision. You're like, okay, Pastor, can I take notes on my phone? Of course, if you don't want to write. But envision the day. So that is P. R is rest. So plan, rest. This is the pre-dawn strategy. Plan, rest. After sending them home, he went into the hills by himself. Solitude. Night fell while he was there alone. Jesus separated himself. He was there alone. Yeah, he went to the hills by himself to pray. But we want to emphasize the fact that he was not stressed. He was at rest. He was alone. Genesis 32 that we read. It says, after taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob alone. I was alone. Alone in the camp. You need to learn to be alone. You need to learn to be alone. Quiet the noise. Quiet the noise. Be calm. Be still and know that he is God. Be calm. Many times people are alone, but they are not alone. They are on Instagram. They are on Instagram. You are watching all the reels in the world. Your mind is troubled. You are conflicted. Drop it. Be alone. Alone with God. Rest. Rest. Be alone and rest. Can I be on my bed? Of course. Be alone and rest. That is so powerful. It's so, so powerful. So the P is to plan. The R is to rest. And the E is to engage. 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 While you need to be alone, why you need to separate yourself, why you need to rest, why you need to be at peace and calm, you also need to engage. It says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to the mountain by himself to engage, to pray. So, did he have a nap? I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he had a nap for 3 hours. Maybe he had a nap for 1 hour. Maybe he didn't. But at least he was at rest. And he prayed. And he engaged. David said, Psalm 63, verse 6. He says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Engage with the word of God. Engage in meditating in scripture, in engaging with the word. It says, I meditate on you in the night watches. It says, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Even though he was on his bed, he was engaging. He was engaging. Mosun shugbon, okomiji. Latiba Shono. I take that again. Mosu Shugbo. O komiji. Latiba Shono. Meaning, though I'm asleep, my spirit is engaging, is awake to watch with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Engage in the spirit. Engage in the spirit. Engage in the spirit. When you have planned and you have rested and you have engaged, by the time is the fourth watch, you'll be walking on water. The storm will be under your feet. You will have prevailed with God. And you'll be free from Pharaoh. You will have prevailed over your Red Sea. And so it is and shall be. In Jesus' mighty name we have decreed. Amen. I want to pray with you for like, Pastor, I want the pre-dawn strategy. I want to have a walk with God so that the pre-dawn strategy can make sense in my life. Pastor, pray with me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. So that by the time I've prayed, by the time I have rested, I can even engage. Then I would be walking on water, the storm to be under my feet. I will have power with God. I will have prevailed with God. Then I will have triumphed over Pharaoh and every racist situation. You're like, Pastor, that is me. Pray with me. Wherever you are, I want to pray with you. If you're in the auditorium, if you're online, wherever you are, I want to pray with you. Put up your hand now over your head as we turn it over to the RP.